So, Father, we just thank you for another awesome night together, Lord. We just thank you for all that you're doing in our midst and in our lives. And we just ask you to bless tonight. We just come against any distractions. We just bind up the principalities and powers. We just call the software in the computers and the phone connections to work perfectly tonight, Lord. And we just ask you just guide us tonight. Just give us direction. Just give us wisdom. Just put, you know, what you want us to talk about in our hearts. And let us edify each other. Let us edify you. And just enjoy this time of fellowship. Just enjoy, you know, just sharing with each other and just sharing, you know, what you're doing in our lives. And we just thank you for this tool. We thank you that we can come together and be in one accord. And we just call tonight blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, well, let's start out like we usually do, is just see if anybody's needs any prayer or wants to pray for anybody or has any prayer requests. Anybody need prayer or want to pray? Well, okay. So, how about any testimonies? Anybody want to bring forth?
Well, Tim?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Tim. Well, I really wasn't ready to do it tonight, but if no one wants to do it, I'll give it a shot.
You got it. Awesome.
It might be quite long.
Well, that's all right. Just let's – this is a time for, you know, just sharing testimonies. So just bring it.
Well, I just probably would start just before Sue and I moved here to local UBM up here in Tennessee. And this was about a year before we came to UBM. We had moved up to Tennessee, and the Lord told us to move up to Tennessee and build a house in Pikeville, Tennessee. And maybe some have heard that story, but it's been a long trial. It's been so far about 5-year trial for both of us, and it's been a difficult trial. But you know, when we moved to Pikeville and we started to get close to finishing the house, we really didn't know, you know, what the Lord wanted to do with us. You know, we didn't understand, because it was quite, you know, when we look back, we know there are no accidents. We know God set this up, but you know, at the time, we didn't understand why God would put us in Pikeville, which is 65 miles from Madisonville, where the local UBM is. And we thought, well, maybe God has a different purpose for us. We know what the purpose is now, but we didn't know then. And, you know, we thought, well, you know, maybe we have some big thing to do there. And it was with other brothers and sisters, but really it wasn't about that. And you know, I'll share that a little bit later. But so, you know, from time to time, we'd ask the Lord, you know, if he still wanted us to move here, you know. And I was pretty confident he would continue to say no. And I was getting, you know, I think it's really easy to get comfortable, get a comfort zone places we're at. And one thing I've learned, you know, on these trials and this walk with the Lord, you know, that's, he's going to keep stretching us, you know, to do more and learn more. And, you know, I remember Sue, you know, we asked the Lord, and we asked very specifically for a message, to give us a message about moving to go to, you know, put up our house and move. And he gave us a message within a couple hours, you know, and I don't specifically remember the messages, but one was in the mail about, you know, are you ready to move? And so we thought, wow, you know, or Sue did. She thought, wow, you know, this is cool. We're ready. So let's put the house up for sale. And I wasn't quite going to take all that. So then we stopped and prayed, and we asked for another message. And then we we were still watching a little bit TV, and we got to a commercial, and it was from, I think, U-Haul, and they said, are you ready to move? Do you need all the things you need to move? You know, and that was pretty powerful once I heard that the Lord wanted us to move. And we were, you know, at the time, we were, you know, and the next day we did put a house up for sale. And, you know, we did have some pretty powerful trials to work through, you know, there. And, but, you know, it was difficult for us because we really were living on the wilderness to get a lot of support. And, you know, so we would listen in on the Tuesdays and Thursdays. But a lot of times having local support is really good, and the kind of trials we're going through are really tough. We put the house up for sale, and it, you know, it's a brand new house, you know, but it's kind of interesting because we put it up for sale, and the you know, the realtor said, well, you know, things are going really well, and then we put it up for sale, and then he said, everything just stopped. You know, we were like, man, we don't get this. You know, the Lord wants us to move, but, you know, it's, the house is sitting. You know, we soon learned that he wanted us to learn several things. He wanted us to act in faith about this house. You know, let him be the realtor. And we were always trying to figure out, thank God, you know, and you're never going to do that. And you know, he just, you know, for 7 months, you know, that house sat and never showed but once, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, it what the Lord showed us during that time, that 7 month period, is, you know, there were a lot of things that he wanted us to do in faith, and at the time, a lot of you don't know me, and that's another conference, but I was getting off many, many different drugs during those times that I was on, and some I've been on for a long time, and they caused a lot of symptoms when I got off. And those trials were very difficult for Sue and I. You know, I was starting to, you name it, what happened. You know, I was, you know, getting agitated. I was angry all the time. I couldn't taste my food. I had enormous anxiety to where I was afraid to leave our house. I was afraid to drive in a car. You know, I was afraid to go to bed sometimes and afraid to get up. And we lived with this day after day, fighting the enemy and rebuking the enemy and praying and calling, you know, getting on the line with the, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we're fighting all the time, you know. But it was to endure the race, endure the trials. You know, this is one of the things the Lord wanted us to do, is to, I guess you might say, to toughen us up, you know, to really endure these trials, you know, because we really were trying to, you know, just live the holy life, live the crucified life, but we really weren't doing it that much. You know, we really, you know, still liked the things of the flesh, you know, at the time that we were still watching TV, we were still, you know, really doing a lot of things that we really shouldn't have been doing. And slowly but surely, you know, we started to, you know, get off these things. And, you know, these are just things that, you know, he wouldn't tell us the whole story every time. You know, it's like a little at a time that he would reveal to us why we were doing this or why we're to do this or, you know, those kind of things. He didn't really drop a whole, you know, here's going to be the plan, this is what we're going to do, you know, so it's a little bit of time when it's kind of like, when you complete this assignment, I'm going to start this other one with you, and that's kind of the way it went. And, you know, something I hadn't said, I've been dealing with, and the reason why I was on drugs is, you know, I had what man calls emphysema, and it was moderate to severe, and I've got multiple injuries to my spine and several surgeries and deal with enormous pain from day to day. And at the time, they had offered me, you know, a surgery that was pretty dangerous. And, you know, when I left the doctors, you know, we decided to, you know, try drug therapy first and then go back to surgery if we had to. So I was on drugs, narcotics, for about 2 years doing this. So I was addicted to the drugs, and, you know, so I got off them during the time before we went to UBM, and, you know, that was a big trial. But I still had the pain, and I still had, you know, the breathing, and also I was being treated for chronic anxiety, which was very difficult for me. So I had this anxiety as well. And then, you know, it just seemed so impossible to overcome this. And the only thing we were left to do is to look to the Lord. And so one of the things that we did during this process is continually go to the Lord on it, no matter how hard it got. And it just really got hard because, you know, I've been suicidal several times because I just didn't know how to bear the pain. I didn't know how to bear the anxiety. And plus, I was cleaning up my act, you might say, trying to weed out all the sin out of my life and to live that holy life. And it just got really difficult. And I can remember about 3 months before it, you know, I started emailing David Adams and writing him and getting support from him and trying to, you know, we didn't know very many people. I mean, I knew Tim, but I didn't know Tim a lot. And, you know, we knew a few people, but we really hadn't gone there that many times. And I think what really started to shift things was about 3 months before we left, Don and Marlene, they've been married for many, many years, and they've been in the body for many, many years too. And, you know, they knew us almost hardly, you know, you might say, and they just felt, you know, in prayer that they needed to support us. So they decided to call us up and say, we want to spend the day with you. Would you be okay with that? And I just broke down and cried, you know, just, wow, you know, it just, I just didn't have words for it except to say yes. And, you know, they came over and we spent a day together and ate together and cried together and prayed together because, you know, I really thought that they were people in the UBM were just, you know, above me. You know, their trials are done and they're there, you know, and you know, so I almost felt like I wasn't, you know, good enough to be with them, but I was so honored when they came. But what I realized that first time is they're like me, and they got their trials, and they opened up their hearts to me, hardly knowing me. And I thought, wow, you know, we're just going down the same narrow path, you know. And it was one of the most rewarding experiences Sue and I have had. And we felt so loved by them and by the body of Christ in UVM because they were all praying for us, and we just. You know, it was just all love, you know, and we were so excited, you know, when they came. And they came three times, and the next time they came was with another sister, a Pam Orr. And then I really got overwhelmed because it was just so much love, you know, that I didn't know how to deal with it. But that was just a short time before we were going to move, and it was funny because, you know, we come and actually Marlene says, well, your house is not sold. We're just going to have to change that. We're going to pray right now. And we're just going to get, you know, in faith, you know, we're going to ask for that, this house to be sold. And so we all prayed, you know, we did a prayer of agreement with all of us that this house would sell because we to that time, we'd only showed the house like maybe twice. And we didn't understand it was a brand new house, you know, it was on a lake, you know, so we thought, you know, this would be a cool thing. But anyways, we prayed, and the next week we started getting all these, you know, people wanted to see us, and the very next week someone put an offer on the house. So it was really cool how God worked in all this. He wanted us to really reach out, and there were other things that had to take place. And he was just priming us to be in the body of Christ, but he wanted us to obey him. Well, I think that's some of the things I found out. He just, are you going to obey me, or are you going to follow the flesh or man, or are you going to follow me? And you know, we started following. We started asking about everything from, you know, Lord, what do we sell this house for? You know, it's his house, and you know, it really, it, you know, the house. The interesting thing is, the house was not selling, and I said, well, I spent this kind of money for it, you know, and you know, we should get that, and you know, but what I realized is, I can't tell you the story, but you know, the Lord provided us to build this house and pay for this house with money we didn't have. It was all money that was given to us to build this house, a complete house, in and out. And it was amazing, that story in itself, an hour. but anyways, you know, when we decided to ask the Lord on the price of the house, and he gave us that price, and we sold it for that, we sold, you know, we had an offer on the house within a week, you know, because we changed the price of the house. Just shortly after Merlene and Don came, and you know, the house was sold. And the interesting thing about it is, the people that came bought another house just where we near us. And we met them on the road one day, and they said, "Do you know these people down the road?" You know, and I said, "Yeah, they're really sweet people." And we talked for about a half an hour. And the interesting thing about it is, these people were not believers, but what happened is, she said, "Well, you know how we got here? You know, the Lord gave me a dream." So she wasn't a believer, but she did believe God exists and so on. And she said, "The Lord gave me a dream to move to Tennessee and to move to this area." You know, I thought, wow, that's cool. And, you know, we really, the house that they wanted was really, it was really in bad straits, because the guy, you know, we love him, but he just wasn't a very good builder at the time. He was learning, and a lot of mistakes in the house, and it was unfinished. It would have cost him $40,000 to get it finished. But the Lord told me to obey him and support that family, because I'm not here to make myself look good. So I really spoke well of the people and spoke well of the house they had. The interesting about it, the next day, you know, I felt kind of sad about that, because they really were looking for a house, and I thought, you know, they could have bought mine, but I would have been, you know, I've been sinning to do that. And I was just walking down the road, and they drove down the road again and looked out, and they looked sad. And I said, "What are you sad about?" "Well, we thought about it last night. We decided we're not going to buy the house. We're going to get out of it." And so, why is that? "Well, there's just too much work to do, and we just didn't feel right about it." And then they saw, they could see the sign, because this was really wilderness where we lived, Tennessee, and you know, there was a sign up near my mailbox that they could see about 75 yards off, and they said, "Do you know the people down the road that have that sign up? Because we really loved that house, and we figured we probably couldn't afford it." And so I said, "Well, I'm the owner." And she said, "Really? You know, we've been past it for 2 weeks, and, you know, we think that's our most favorite house, and we've dreamed about a house like that." And you know, I told them it was a two-bedroom, one bath, and add this, and this. And they said, "Boy, that's what we dreamed about, too." And they said, well, how much are you selling it for, you know? And I said, "Well, I'm selling for this price." And they said, "Really? We thought that would sell for $200,000. We just figured it was too much for us. We can afford that." They ended up buying our house, you know. So it was really cool. I said, the Lord set this all up. He set it up so we'd, you know, be true to our friends, true to God, and then turn around and have the house sold. And ultimately, our friends sold their house for what they needed to. So everybody won in this situation. I was, you know, we were just so happy. And it took faith, took prayer, and, you know, it took, you know, really fighting the enemy every day, because he'd want to convince us that this is all a lie, and, you know, we're going to die, we're not going to make it, you know, and all those things. And you know, but nevertheless, But having the agoraphobia, afraid to leave and all that stuff, here we sold the house. We were going to move to Madisonville, which is about 65 miles, and be with the body. And I would say things like, I was pretty negative. I'd say, well, you know, I'm probably going to die, you know, before we get there, or we're not going to make it, or how am I going to do this? I can't even deal with packing up stuff. I was pretty much afraid of everything, you know, and that, you know, being on this drug so long, you know, and coming off it, and then, you know, seeing all these demons that, you know, we acquire not knowing, you know, but all these open doorways, you know, during certain traumatic times bring in demons, or that's one way, or sinning, or other things. And I didn't realize, you know, what I was into. It's taken a lot to understand that. But anyways, nevertheless, it, you know, we finally sold the house, and I'm learning a lot about, you know, walking the walk. But, you know, I was just really so out of it, you know, and not knowing how to do this. But it was just a real blessing when we moved to see a lot of loving people who are full of trials themselves, you know, get their love out. You know, we just had so many people come over and help us move in, and you know, they had their work to do and stuff. And, you know, within a week, you know, we had a very large garden in, and it was planted. And, you know, we just had so many wonderful things happen. But I still had things that I still had to face. You know, I was still on a lot of drugs, even being off the narcotics. I was off on a lot of drugs, you know, for my lungs, for my spine, for my blood pressure, and I just, no one's ever did this when I got here, but I felt convicted, like I wasn't good enough to be here. And I said, you know, I got to get off all these drugs. You know, if God's going to love me, and if I'm going to go to heaven, I thought, you know, I had to get off all these drugs. And so it really, it started to become a really big trial, because early into it, I just started looking, well, how am I going to do this? You know, and I was looking at how I'm going to do it, and, you know, rest in the Lord. That's what he wants us to do, is rest in him, let him do it. I didn't understand that. And despite, you know, Sue, my wife, who has been a believer a lot longer than me, you know, trying to explain it, and even, you know, the local, you know, even David or Tim or Michael Hare, you know, all trying to teach me what this all meant, I was not getting it. They loved me just the same. That's the key here. Living here is everybody loves you just the same, whether you mess up or whether you do it the right way. But I still wasn't getting it, you know, and I was kind of consumed by that, because I thought the only way I'm going to truly get accepted here is if I, and trust me, no one's not accepted me. They've always been good to me. This was an illusion. This was the enemy was telling me that I wouldn't be totally accepted, you know, unless I got rid of these drugs. And, you know, and sometimes I think these demons are on the other end are going, ha, 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 you know, you know, he's screwing it up, you know, I'm glad. But about August, last year, August, I decided to get off all drugs. And I was on about four for my lungs, two for my blood pressure, and I think I was on one for pain. I'm not positive, but I just cold turkey all these drugs. And everybody backed me up. They prayed with me. I mean, they supported my decision. And we prayed a lot. And over the months, I got weaker to the point where I was really having a difficult time going to the meetings. I mean, I would go, but it was like so hard for me to go. It was so hard for me to breathe. And, you know, I go 10 feet and have to stop. And, you know, Sue would have to carry everything for me because I couldn't carry it, you know, because of my back or my, you know, it got to the point where the whole day was a trial. It was almost, I can't even explain how difficult it was from day to day. It got to the point where Sue and I were doing warfare all day. And when I go to bed at night, you know, we were sleeping in different bedrooms because I just would keep her up all night. And you know, so I'd be there alone and, you know, fighting the enemy some nights. I sometimes going 3 and 4 nights without sleep, just doing warfare and also dealing with, you know, maybe not breathing very well, or, you know, my heart's pounding like crazy and I'm like, oh, am I going to die? And, you know, I spent a lot of time in the Bible and praying and rebuking the enemy, you know, and I hadn't died. So that was a great thing. You know, God was keeping me alive, just like he did Job. You know, he said, you can't take him out. And, you know, I wasn't taken out, but, he still is trying to show me quite a few things, and I think faith is what's one of the biggest ones. And it was about 2 months ago, it just got really worse for me. And it got to the point where, you know, I could walk 5 feet and I'd have to stay there for 20 minutes to regain any kind of strength to walk. It was just getting to that point where it was getting just really awful. And for me, and, you know, we'd cry, we'd pray, and so on. But there were a lot of things that I didn't know, and there's things today I still don't know, but I just continued to ask for support with the body, and I'd call them, or if we had meetings, we'd just pray for each other and pray for me, and you know, there's a lot of love there for me. I'm just so grateful for all that I've received here. But a lot of this pain had nothing to do with what they were doing or not doing. It was about what I was doing and not doing. And you know, I'm still learning. But about a month ago, it just really got bad. And I got a cold. What I thought a cold, which turned out to be pneumonia, you know, and I'm going to kind of tread through this because it was pretty horrible. And then there came a day where I just felt like I wasn't going to make it that day. I could hardly breathe, and you know, my back hurt so bad, and my legs coming from the back, and you know, I was just crying all the time because I was in so much pain, and I thought I'd lost all hope. And we went to a meeting that night, and everybody prayed. And in the past week and a half, I had to sit on the couch to breathe, because it's easier to breathe if you're in a standing or sitting position. If I laid down, I couldn't breathe. But my back hurt, so I couldn't just do it easily. I had to get really situated on the couch to even breathe and to comfort the pain I was having in my low back and my legs. And that night I had been so exhausted from it, and my oxygen levels at the time I didn't know were so low. I woke up and I was laying on the floor, and I tried to pick myself up and get on the couch, and I couldn't do it. It was like I didn't have anything in my legs or my body, because, you know, when you have that low of oxygen, your limbs need oxygen to move and to be strong, and I didn't have it. And I wasn't thinking all this then. I was thinking, I need to get up and get on that couch, and I can do, I'll be okay. And I want to insert this. I continue to say, I got to get up and do what I need to do. And so I was continually going to what I could do to straighten out the matter, and I didn't go to God on it. I did this for 6 or 7 hours, and just would try to get myself up and then cry and just say, Lord, please help me. But I wouldn't rest in the Lord. You know, I just keep trying to do it myself. About 6 or 7 hours later, it came to me that I could beat on the floor and Sue would come up because she was in the bedroom in the basement. Well, she came up and I asked, well, let's, if we get me up, everything's going to be okay. Well, she couldn't get me up either. You know, and the first thing she said, actually, when she came in the room, why don't you ask Tim? You know, because Tim and Trish, you know, just live a little ways from us. And see, I just, you know, I, the spirit of pride, the spirit of thinking you got to do everything yourself came up. And but that day, I just said, call him. So we called Tim. Tim, I'm glad Tim brought Michael Hare and David with them. And they got me up, and it was hard for even three people to get me. They got me up in a computer chair, but I knew a lot was wrong there that day. And, you know, Michael had been calling me and David that week, and they were with me every day. You know, they saw quite a bit about me and knew something was wrong and knew something needed to get changed. But they were weak to the weak. You know, they didn't, you know, they just prayed with me and just encouraged me, and Tim as well. And, you know, everybody there encouraged me. And but that morning, you know, David spoke to the Lord, you know, in prayer, and David rebuked what my plan was, is to keep going this way, and came back to me and said, we need to really pray now and get an answer from the Lord what to do here. And in that prayer, it was to go to the hospital. And I did go to the hospital, and, you know, I thought I was dead. I really thought that, you know, we got an ambulance in, and, you know, I thought this was my last day. And I wanted to, you know, I have so much to live for, and I just didn't want this to be the time up. And, but I got to the hospital, and I was, you know, I said, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell these doctors, and they're going to just burn me over the coals, because I haven't been taking my medication for all these months. And I just went through all these different scenarios. And even to say that, you know, the local body would not want me either. But these were all lies again. You know, this was the enemy. He was trying to ruin everything. And these people in the hospital were just exceptionally nice. And I an experience that I've not had, you know, even the doctor. And the fact that I could breathe that day and breathe well was really a blessing, because I had time to think about all those that I love and all those that love me, and it really made me take a hard look at everything. And nobody in the local body judged me. They all loved me, and, you know, I found that out just that the 7 days I was there, and realized that I just really didn't have the faith to get off all these drugs. But what I didn't do is I didn't ask the Lord for it. You know, ask not, receive not. And, you know, He'll give us anything, but, and, you know, the faith, if we need that faith, He'll give us that faith. And I tell you, you know, this experience was a really hard experience to me, that it opened up a lot of new things for me that elsewise I don't think would have been opened up. And, you know, here I'm, you know, 3-4 weeks out of the hospital, and, you know, I'm building up my, or, you know, the Lord's building up my lungs. I'm not doing anything, but it's really relying on Him and learning to every day give my life to Him, every day give all my affairs to Him. What do you want me to do, Lord? Not this is what I'm going to do. And learning to pray more. I mean, again, you know, it's to to give all I have to Him every day, and just know He's going to do the same for me. And I can't really give any more right now, but the trial isn't over. But we went a long ways, and if I look back 5 years, if I went any other way, I wouldn't be alive today, because it's the Lord who saved my life, and it's all those that He brought in my life, and I just love everybody here in Madisonville. Here I am just a screw up sometimes, and they love me just the same, and they pray with me and believe with me and, fight with me. And that's what I love. And many times we do it on the phone and we don't see each other. We'll call each other up and do warfare or prayer or whatever we need, so our support goes everywhere. Sometimes, a lot of times without even seeing each other. And that's been really a gift to have that kind of support. Just pick up a phone and tell a brother or sister, that we need help. and if you ask, you receive it. And that's important to me. And I know it's been a blessing to everybody else for them to come here and say the same thing, that they feel loved and they're supported. And some of you guys could call us too, whoever's out there, because we'll love you too. We'll pray with you and we'll fight with you, So anyways, that's all I got, Tim, for now.
Well, Michael, if you would be, willing, there was two things, the situation with the two interns at the hospital. If you could share that, and then share what happened the other night at the
thanks for telling me that. Well, when I fell on the floor the day before I went into the hospital, I injured my spine again, or not necessarily my spine. I injured the soft tissue in the low back to the point where if I moved, I'd have a spasm in my back and it put me right down in the ground type of spasm. That was anything. And, with pneumonia, you're going to cough. And that cough would cause me to spasm and cause traumatic pain. So when I got in the hospital, the doctor said, well, we're going to have to do some MRIs and some CT scans. And that was the second day I was there, and I was terrified. I said, how are they going to do this? How are they going to do this? I was praying every day. We had so many people praying. It just was awesome. And I didn't know any of this. And anyways, the second day, the doctor came in and said, well, we're going to do CAT scans this afternoon. And, and I just didn't know how it was going to happen because I couldn't even move hardly. I really had a tough time. And so anyways, someone came up and said, just a minute, we're going to have some help to get you in another bed and get you down to the CAT scan. So anyways, I was just terrified of the whole situation I was in, and I asked the Lord, to really help me. And these two kind men came in, and they said, Mr. Levesque, we're going to move you, and we're going to go to the CAT scan. And they asked if I had any concerns. I'm not quoting anything, but I'm just thinking back that it was like they wanted to make sure that I was comfortable with what happened. And I said, well, here's what's happening with my spine. It can hardly move. It hurts when I do everything. And they tried, and it was like really painful. And they were like, we need to do something here. So one guy had to be 6'5", and the other one was probably 6 foot. But these guys were just you could look at them, and they were they weren't bodybuilders, but they just, you could see the strength in them. Not just physical, but I think everywhere else. But the one was their logger, the one that was 6 foot. I wish I remember their names, but I don't. But he looked back and he said, you know, we're going to have, like, do you remember what I called it, Tim? That bedspread thing?
A hammock.
Yeah. He said, you know, I know some of you might not understand this, but he was going to put me in like a hammock perpendicular to my bed, and then one would take one end and one would take the other. And so they just had to go to the next bed, so they got me in pretty easily when he did it. But when we got to the CAT scan, we had to go over to three different things, and it was quite the distance. And he said, well, we're going to do a hammock again. And, you know, this hammock was, you know, a feat, you know, because... And these guys were so gentle with me. This is the thing. They were just so gentle and so loving. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to get here. You know, and I just surrendered to the Lord because I didn't know how to do it. I just didn't know how it was going to happen. And just trusted that moment that the Lord would protect me and I wouldn't have to endure so much pain. And these two guys, they just... they were like in ballet for a moment. I'm just paraphrasing this, but the one tall guy was on my left side and the other man was on the right side, and they put me like in this hammock, and it was like a vision. But at first he stood on top of my bed, which was amazing, and he lifted me up higher than the bed. And he was higher than the other gentleman on the other side. And it was almost like when he did that, I saw a vision, well, kind of a vision. I never had one before, but the guy on the lower end, for just a moment, I saw Jesus there, or what I thought was Jesus. And he looked at me, and he smiled, and that's all he did. He looked at me and smiled. And... this guy that was on top of the bed, it's almost like he shook a sheet, you know, just so graceful. Because I was higher than the bed and higher than the other gentleman. And they slid me across this hammock to the other bed. And I never experienced any pain to get out of it. And I just, you know, when I thought about that later on, that Jesus was there, it was almost like Jesus was saying to me, everything is okay. And it was okay. I did that without traumatic pain, and these guys throughout the week came to do that to me, you know, whenever I needed things. But I was terrified once I got in there, and when this happened, it really took the fear away, because I believed that Jesus was with me. And I never had that kind of experience. So it was really something that I really needed. This trial has been a long time. And he came there for me. When we got back home, we had an Eden meeting, and we had that once a month, and we asked guests to come and we have a meal together, and then we have our fellowship, you know, the prayer and song and testimonies, and it was an awesome day because I just received so much love that day. And, you know, I was on oxygen when I got back, and the doctor, he didn't give me a time on oxygen, but he just wanted my lungs to heal, and I just was encouraged to try to trust the Lord to build up my lungs. And, before that day, you know, I wasn't very successful. About 2 days before that, you know, the oxygen tanks I have, you know, they have what's that called, Tim, when you open the valve? What's that?
Regulator.
A what?
Regulator.
Yeah, there you go. So I had a regulator, and the regulator blew a gasket in it, which means I didn't have any oxygen to go anywhere. I mean, I had oxygen at home, but I didn't have oxygen to go anywhere. So, you know, I cried again. It was a couple days before, and I said, you know, I really want to keep the events because, you know, we love to love, you know, and when we go to these meetings, everybody's there, and we can, you know, just really embrace the love of the group and pray together and cry together, whatever it is, you know. And anyway, so I, you know, I'm pretty mechanical, and I came up with a gasket system, and it worked for 24 hours, and it blew again, you know, and it just kept blowing, and I was getting the impression that the Lord was telling me to, you know, maybe trust him. So I started getting off the oxygen. Well, I'd take it at night, but I was trying to get off the oxygen during the days and just go to morning prayer meetings and go to the other events as I could. And but I still was struggling. But the day of the meeting, the Eden meeting, or the blessing, top blessing, my gasket that I put on there blew again. And I just sat there with Sue and I cried. Because I wanted to go to the meeting so bad. And I like, you know, I'm just so tired of this. And this was like just 5 minutes before you're going to leave. And, you know, she sat with me and says, Michael, let's just pray. And, you know, let the Lord do this. You know, I was telling the group there, when your lungs don't have oxygen, it's like someone who's drowning. You know, you do anything to get oxygen in your lungs. It's a frightening experience, and I had to decide because these meetings are about 7 hours, you know, long. Could be eight, you know, because you know like I say, we eat and we talk, we laugh, and then you know we have our fellowship, I just went there and I trusted the Lord. And Sue and I, and we prayed on the way in, continued to do that. And the interesting thing about it is as we got closer to the meeting, you know, I didn't feel like I was panicking about the oxygen. And you know, we got to the meeting and, you know, I hadn't seen a lot of the fellowship for, you know, a few weeks, so I was, you know, just really excited, and they were excited to see me, and, you know, we had a lot to talk about, and, you know, I just got there, and I just got lost in the group, because it was just nice to be there, and we had some visitors. Greg, his parents, Gaylord, and is it Marlon, Tim, or Marvin?
No, it's Marlon and Gaynold.
Marlon and Gaynold. I didn't know them very well. I just met there. And they were sweet people. Greg's got just really wonderful parents and believers. And so anyway, sweet. We got to the you know, the fellowship part, and we're all praising the Lord and singing, and it was just an awesome experience. It was just different at night, just different than I experienced. And the Lord told me to give testimony about this oxygen. I didn't realize it, that I had been sitting there, and it was probably 6 hours I hadn't been using any oxygen, and I didn't. That's never happened in the past 3 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever I've had it. I've been able to get off oxygen for an hour, hour and a half, and never that long. And actually, when the night ended, it was probably 8 hours of no oxygen. So I told my testimony, and we prayed again, and then David, he asked if anybody had any testimonies, and Gaynor, she didn't get up, but she said she had a testimony. She had an open vision just after I gave testimony, and she said she saw Jesus. Gaynard was two rows behind me and to my right. And she said Jesus walked all the way around past her and stood by me. And we just all crying in the room. You know, it was just so awesome that he chose to stand by me. And then we had a word in the group, I'm not quoting exact, from Amber. She said the Lord told her that he came to help. And we were just in awe that night. After that happened, it just was like an awesome experience, and I've never had it. And he's with all of us, but that night he made a point to let us know, and that was just really awesome. I'm glad you mentioned that, Tim. It was a highlight of this whole thing. But anyways, that's I think the most of it.
Amen. That was awesome. Now, the morning that Sue called and asked me to come over, and I called up Michael Hare and said, hey, can you come over and give me a hand? And he ended up bringing David over. And, you know, we got there, and Michael was basically on his hands and knees and couldn't get up, couldn't move, anything like that. And, you know, so we helped him up. And then David just started talking to him, just started asking him questions. And the questions were, you know, faith-related questions. And I know that David had prayed before he went over there and gotten a word. And they went in the kitchen and prayed. And David came out and, you know, basically said, Michael, I asked you these questions and the answers you gave me were the wrong answer. He said, you're not in faith, you're in works. And I think, you know, Michael was seeing that now, that, you know, him getting off the drugs, you know, he was doing it as works. You know, there was some anxiety and fear of what others would think, that, you know, if he was within, you know, the group, that he couldn't be on drugs or, you know, whatever the lie in his head was. And, you know, he was really putting the cart before the horse. And it was kind of a humbling experience, I know, for Michael. But sometimes the Lord has got to bring us to that point. You know, if we don't humble ourselves, then he's going to humble us. And it's much better if we can humble ourselves and not have to have him do it. But sometimes it comes down to, you know, him having to humble us. And that's all part of the trials. You know, the trials are to prove us. They tend to, you know, stretch us. They tend to show what's in us. And, you know, it's a testing of our patience. It's a testing to see if we are going to endure. And Michael is right. God never tells us his plan. I mean, he's got a plan, but he needs us to get out of the way. And sometimes, you know, our thick-headedness and stubbornness or whatever it is, you know, we want to be, you know, I just kind of saw this as pride wants to be the Lord. Pride wants to be the Savior. And sometimes our pride gets in the way and we want to make the decisions and we want to be in control and we want to handle it. And, you know, And he's got to bring us to a place where we just get to a place of weakness and where we just got to give up self. We got to give up, you know, being in control. I mean, he did it with me, with my leg. And, uh, you know, talking with Michael, I mean, we went through some of the same trials. I mean, when we put our house up for sale, nothing happened. And then all of a sudden there's an offer, and there's some excitement, and we're seeing the Lord and, you know, all this. And then all of a sudden everything fell apart. And there was disappointment, and, you know, there was despair, and what's going on, and we miss the Lord, and, you know, all this. And, but it's all in just testing us where we're at. You know, are we going to get our eyes on the Lord, or, you know, what are we going to do? So, but I think that, you know, this has been an awesome trial for Michael, and the Lord's still doing a work in him. And he's right, is, you know, this body is all about love. It's all about prayer. I mean, we don't put anybody under the law as far as that. You know, the funny thing is nobody in UBM is above anybody else. And, you know, we just, I don't know, we're just kind of a group of people just like everybody in this fellowship. I mean, there's, you know, we're just a bunch of people that are just trying to run after the Lord, that the Lord has called, and you know, you know, we're no different than everybody out there. You know, sometimes people think that, you know, we're a better cut, or I don't know, or, you know, just whatever, but we're no different. We got the same trials. We have the same, you know, struggles, the same things going on, and that everybody else has going on. And that's, you know, just who we are. We're no different than anybody else. And, but we're, you know, just like we do on this conference call, we're here to support each other and pray for each other, and share testimonies when God does awesome things. So, all right. Does anybody have any, comments or thoughts on what Michael shared, or,
I do. Amber.
Hey, Amber.
Hey, I just wanted to share the Lord, what he told me in the meeting, and then he also gave me a second word at the meeting, and I didn't share with the body at that time, and I wanted to share both of those.
Okay.
So we were praying and worshiping, and I was asking the Lord, you know, to come down and help his people, and he said, "I am here." I said, "Well, Lord, what are you going to do?" And he said, "Watch and listen." And that was what I shared at that time. And a little bit later, he said, "I understand the longings of your heart. I long for my people. Will they choose the spirit or the flesh? Will they choose me or the world?" And he really made me understand that longing that we have, whatever it's for, that longing is that's how he longs for us. And he understands the things that we long for. And that's how much he longs for us and how much he wants us and is waiting for us to choose him. And that's it.
Amen. What will you choose, right?
Right. Where you choose me. And he wants, it's just the passion that he longs for us is, it's just like he understands us. He understands the pain and the longing of things that we want. And that's how much he longs for us.
Amen. Amen. Does everybody have their phone muted? I'm hearing some breathing or something in the phone. I don't know where it's coming from. So just please mute your phones.
Let me turn my fan on.
No, it's not. No, I don't think it's that.
Okay.
I muted you. It didn't go away, so I don't know. I was just trying to.
Well, I did want to add a few things if I can.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. What Michael and Sue has talked about and Tim, and what Amber said there, as far as what the Lord told her and what the Lord told Belinda the other morning, you know, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, and fear the Lord. God wants us to draw nigh unto Him now. It's the time is getting short. And the way we do that, we give these testimonies and these encouraging words. I know that somebody got blessed by Michael's testimony tonight, because I got blessed by it. And that's what testimonies are for, and praise reports. They're to encourage the body to see that, hey, look, these guys are just like us. They're struggling just like the rest of us, and we all are. We encourage one another with these testimonies, and we pray for one another. We cry on each other's shoulder, and we call ourselves a family, and that's what a family does. A family takes care of one another. They pray for one another. They teach one another. They encourage one another. And that's what this outreach fellowship is all about. And that's what our fellowship here locally is all about. Like Tim said, sometimes people think that we're up on a pedestal and we're at this level of I don't know, you know, but we're not. We're just struggling like everybody else. We've got the same type of testimonies that y'all do. And we struggle, but we've learned to call and to have people pray for us. And we're learning how to fight this battle, and we fight it with each other. We don't fight it. You can't fight it alone. There's power in the prayer of agreement. There's real power there. And I would just encourage everybody to give testimonies, to give praise reports, and to give, you know, it makes no difference. Bear your soul. God knows anyway, you know. Just, and I just kind of would like to encourage everybody, draw nigh unto God. Right now is the time to do that. And that's pretty much all I wanted to say, share there, Tim. Just kind of punctuate what y'all have already said.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's just, it's really all about testimonies, and because it encourages others. I mean, other people that may be struggling, you know, we just actually Michael shared part of his testimony, and somebody else in the group, you know, just saw where they were in a struggle, and you know, felt, you know, they weren't the only one that was dealing with, you know, a situation. And you know, it's not about, you know, getting off the drugs. It's about getting to a place of faith, or dealing with situations in faith, you know, the anxieties, the fears, you know, whatever it is that may be, you know, keeping you on the drugs. But it's really coming to a place of, you know, that, you know, the faith is between you and the Lord. And when you know that, you know, this is what you're going to step out in, but you can't do it because of what others think, fear of man, you know, trying to
be
somebody.
We're doing really well. Thank you. We're doing well.
So, you know, that's, you know, that's really what it comes down to, is just, and all we can do is encourage each other in their faith and pray with each other and just love on each other. And that's what we can do, you know, right here in this fellowship. So it's, you know, it's an awesome, you know, awesome thing. So, all right. Anybody else have, a testimony or a thought or, want to tell on the devil or need prayer or anything like that?
Well, Tim, this is Amber again. I have a testimony.
All right, awesome.
That happened today.
Okay.
I kind of want to give a testimony and kind of expose how the enemy works a little bit. It may have been Trish was talking. Somebody from the body was talking about how when we have a victory, the enemy, you know, kind of comes after us, kind of full court. And the Lord's been delivering me some things, and I've really had some victories in a lot of areas. And yesterday, I was starting to get sick. It felt like a cold. First, I thought it was just the spirit because of all these trials, and then I started to realize I was coming down with a cold. And I got deliverance for some things, you know, was feeling pretty good. And this, I cast down the sickness this morning, woke up, was feeling pretty good. And this is regarding Lexi, my little girl. We had a couple months or so ago, we had cast out this spirit of, like, a learning disability spirit. And you might think that something like this would be pretty mild and you would just cast it out and go, but it has been, it was pretty wild when we cast it out the last time. And my little girl's not rebellious. She's doesn't talk back. So she's a good girl. So we were working on our school today, and she had a math test, and she just lost it. She started crying, and she couldn't handle it. So I started to suspect that demon was, you know, trying to come back on her, and that she was being rebellious. And I eventually sent her to the corner and started, you know, she wouldn't read. A lot of times I'll ask her to read a psalm or something. She wouldn't do it. She hemmed and hawed, and I was getting more and more suspicious that something was happening. So I put her in the corner, started praying, and put on praise and worship music, and she started letting out these blood-curdling screams. I mean, just screaming and yelling, and, you know, I was casting out this spirit. And the Lord really came down, though. His anointing, just I could just feel it just come over my body. And I, you know, would pray, you know, pray in tongues, and we'd play the music, you know, praise and worship music, and I'd cast it out, and they would say, "No, you can't make me go." They would talk in the plural, like, so maybe it was one of more than one, and I'd say it lasted a good hour. And at some point, the spirit almost acted like it was going to attack me, which is totally not like my little girl. So, you know, but the Lord was there. I really felt the anointing. I almost felt joy, you know, the joy come up. I knew that I had the victory, even though it took so long. I was just, you know, just really confident in the Lord. He just really was there with me fighting the battle. And it just left finally, you know. It just, it stopped. It got weaker and weaker. Just, and finally it was gone, and she was back, you know, to her. I knew it was gone for good when she just walked over and picked her own praise and worship song and started reading her Bible, and she was just normal again. So I just praise the Lord for that victory. But that enemy, and then I burnt my arm a little bit later on the stove, and put my arm on the stove door, inside of the stove door, but I just ignored it, and now I can't even remember which arm it was on. So I praise the Lord for all his mercies and healings.
Amen. That's an awesome testimony.
Amen. Glory to God.
Yeah, a lot of times you can do deliverance by faith, and sometimes those spirits manifest, and those spirits do not want to give up ground, and they'll argue with you and tell you, you know, they've been here a long time, or, you know, this is my body, or whatever it is, and you know, the person will do things that they would never do because they're under that manifestation of that spirit. And but the truth is, you know, it just, you've got the authority, it has to go. And sometimes they want to argue with you, be a lawyer or whatever it is, and it's just a distraction. It's just a total distraction. You just got to tell that spirit to get out and stay out as far as that. And but yeah, they can put up a fuss sometimes.
Yeah, this one definitely was putting up a fuss. You tell me later, you know, that they just took over her mouth and her body. You know, it's like she was there, but were in control. It's definitely strange.
I was able to think my own thoughts, but I couldn't say what I wanted to say.
Is that Lexi?
Yeah.
Awesome.
How you feeling, Lexi?
Great.
Awesome.
I was awesome. After that thing was over.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And that's so true is, you know, once you get a victory, man, the devil just kind of does double time to try to, you know, do anything to try to steal that victory or get you into doubt. Or the thing we've noticed, too, is it's not necessarily a victory in you. It might be you helping somebody out where, you know, there's been times where, you know, I've just had some, you know, an awesome day of, you know, something, you know, the Lord used me in or, you know, used Trish and I in or something like that for deliverance or whatever it is. And, you know, that night, I mean, this just happened, you know, just actually the other night. But, I mean, the, you know, the enemy will just kind of step up and, you know, try to bring a heaviness or try to bring an attack or something like that. And because they don't want you operating in that realm, you know, they don't want, you know, you being used of the Lord. So if, you know, you've had a victory, he always comes to try to steal it. Or if you participated or, you know, prayed somebody through a victory or whatever it is, I mean, that attack may come on you. But it's all just to, steal what, you know, what ground they've lost, because they always want to take back the ground. So. But that's awesome. All right, anybody else?
Hello, brother.
Hey, Jim. Actually, you first. Hello. You first.
All right, go ahead, Sue. Was that Sue?
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
Amen. I miss y'all. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. I don't know when the Lord's going to bring me back, but I'm going to come back. I appreciate all the prayers. Really, really, it's been really intense here. Not just with the granddaughter, but with grandson, the one grandson in particular that's 11. But he's starting to see a little bit. And the other night we were talking to him about how he needs to recognize that if he hides. That, you know, if he's lying or if he's doing something that's in sin, that God can't cover him and he'll, you know, he can't help him and he's going to bring trouble upon himself. And I noticed that night, this was before bed, you know, we were having an issue with him. My daughter and I are working together with trying to get him to see the truth about these matters. And I saw that he had this one book. There was questions about God, and he didn't want me to see that he was going to read it. So that was a positive thing about dealing with that. So you know, everything that went on with Victoria, you know, with the chiggers and everything, that kind of was, you know, that she didn't have the covering that, you know, and felt like that's why she got it, you know, and and so that kind of opened their eyes a little bit to, you know, if we're in sin, we're not covered, you know. But what was kind of neat on the way from the trip, you know, because of that itching and that burning that she had gotten from the chiggers, she would be in the back seat and crying, starting to cry because it itched and it hurt her, you know. And all I could do, you know, because I'm on the road, all I could do was say, Tori, take my hand, and I would bring my one hand, you know, and she would put her hand on my fingers or something, you know, and I'd just start praying in the spirit, and just praying for that itching and the burning and hurting to go away and stuff, and then she'd be okay, and then a couple hours later, it happened again, and she started to feel the power of the Lord from my fingers. And I said, did you feel that? And she says, yes. And that encouraged her even more when she started to feel that, because she felt that it was helping her to get better. I mean, but it was like almost every few hours I had to reach back while I'm driving, reach back and pray, you know, and pray for that to stop and for the enemy to leave her body alone. You know, and but it was very helpful for her to see that, and so she would, you know,
ask for prayer now more, you know, than she did before, recognizing that God's there, you know, he's there.
Amen. Would you mind sharing what you experienced, you know, at the prayer meeting before you got on the road with Victoria?
Oh, yeah, that was an ordeal. I've noticed at the meetings, most of the meetings, she would be very timid and not want to get to know anybody or anything, but then certain songs would come up, certain phrase songs would come on, and then she'd start to open up. She was always trying to hide, but then she got to the place where she liked it, and she just wanted to stay there. But and we were up on the one where Michael and David lived. We were there before for a meal, and she was fine. That morning when we had the prayer meeting, she was just so adamant. She was real rebellious. I do not want to go there. She kept fighting me and fighting me. I couldn't get into the house because she kept fighting me, and had to deal with her and stuff. And still, once I finally, you know, got her in there, you know, David and Michael, they just, you know, I had her in my lap and, you know, trying to get her to not hide. She was like wanting to run away, and I knew it was demonic, but I didn't know, you know, how. I didn't feel comfortable myself to know, to do casting out, you know, demons or anything. So I believe the Lord was used Michael and David to lay hands on her and pray against, you know, to come against that spirit, especially of rebellion. And we were all praying together. I had her in my lap and she was fighting the whole time, you know, and while we were all praying. And then finally, after casting out, you know, demons and stuff, she finally calmed down and she was back to herself in her sweet way, you know, and was okay the rest of the time. She didn't want to go, you know. She was so friendly to everybody and she gave hugs to everybody, and that was such a blessing, you know. But it's like I knew that there was something, and I didn't feel like I had the faith, the strength enough to take care of it myself. And even since she's been home, I've had to have a couple battles with her, but because I had that experience, that helped me.
Amen.
Where, if she starts to have an inkling of, if I have to be very keen, you know, very alert spiritually to catch it, you know, because there's other kids around here. There's three children all together, and when I hear when they say something, she could pick it up and say it, which she has done, and at times, you know, and I they have to correct her, and if I have to give her discipline, then I have to give her discipline, and I tell her, hey, you know, who are you speaking from? You know, who is that? You, you know, kind of remind her that, you know, the devil wants you to say these things, you know, and they're not of God. It's hurtful for you and it's for others, you know, hurtful. You know, she says something that's not right, you know, she's mean or something like that, you know, but I have to be alert because I don't want any demonic influence coming back in her, point where she has to have, you know, have them cast out again. But just that whole experience, that helped me a lot more too, you know, like I said, because even dealing with her brother, there's been a lot of rebellion in him, and we've had to deal with him. Now, he's 11. I'm not sure. I mean, I come against that spirit. I come against that rebellious spirit, and I talk to him about it. And like you were saying earlier, they argue with you and all this stuff, and that is so true. They're always trying to make excuses and, you know, saying something to keep you, you know, from doing what you believe you got to do, you know, to shut the demon up, you know. But, yeah, amen. So I thank you. Thank you all. And I miss you all. And hello to everybody. Bless you all.
Bless you. Bless you. Yeah, Michael, I mean, you were there. Was that demon saying, this is my body and leave me alone or something?
Yeah. Yeah, that demon was screaming, solid screaming for about 45 minutes. And not just one, there was many, 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 many of them.
Yeah.
And it kept saying, this is my body. This is my body. You know, but we kept saying, no, it ain't your body. You got to leave. And sometimes it takes, I've never had it take that long on a young child before, but, you know, I think the Lord allowed it to teach us all that we have to persevere in our prayer life. Also, it took 45 minutes. That's unusual on a child, but we hung with it, and she got delivered. I mean, it was a tremendous change in that girl. During the whole time that we saw her at the fellowship and things like that, you know, she was not like she was that day, but she still had some issues, we could tell, you know. And then the Lord brought Sue up there for prayer that morning. And boy, it was an awesome time to watch this little girl. Now, Sue, how old is she? About four?
5 in April. This month, actually.
I can't hear you.
Yeah, she said she's going to be five in April.
14th.
So she's
okay.
Almost five.
Almost five. That's how small she was. And when the Lord delivered her, she was just a totally different child from the whole time that she was there. She hugged everybody. She latched on to Lexi. By the way, I wanted to mention also, Lexi's, I think she's 10, but you talk about a spiritual warrior. Now, that girl is a spiritual warrior. She came in there and she laid her hands on her knees, on Victoria's knees, and she said, "Victoria, that's not you. That's a demon, and you got to come out, demon." It was just, I was in awe. I was really blessed by what Lexi was doing. But that's body ministry, man, I'm going to tell you. But she was such a loving child when Sue and her left. And that's God's deliverance for that little girl. Awesome.
Back. Yeah.
She's welcome.
Amen.
Amen.
Leave the demons up there, then. We don't.
I don't want them around anywhere.
There you go. You know, I was telling the group, she was worried about going back up there and you know, getting some more. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I remember what Jimmy Swaggart said. You know, not that he's any prime example, but when he was a child, his grandmother raised him. And every day he'd come home from school, he said that she would cast those demons off from him that he'd gotten that day at school. And, you know, that's something you need to think about. If you're sending them out, when they come back, man, you need to strip them of all of those demons, because they're going to get them. They're just like a magnet.
Yeah, I don't think I shared this with anybody, but at the pot blessing, I think it was the day before, Victoria was, you know, was on the front porch, and she was under, you know, a chair kind hiding and crying, and I went up to her, you know, just to try to, you know, comfort her. And I asked, "Can I pray for you?" And she just started hissing at me and growling at me, and it was like I knew it was a demon. And I was like, no way, demon, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And as soon as I said that, she got up and ran, you know. It took off, and it was, but yeah, when she started hissing and growling at me, it was, you know, it was like, whoa.
I saw you out there, and I saw her take off. I said, that demon didn't want to be around.
So, but the thing is, and this could be, I mean, it was, I mean, she had chiggers all over her. I don't know where she was or anything like that. And if anybody's ever had chiggers, I never even knew what a chigger was until I came to Tennessee. But talk about the curse. I mean, it is, it's like a mosquito bite on steroids, and there's nothing you can do for relief. And it just itches and burns. I mean, I've never experienced anything like that before, and it just doesn't let up. It just does not let up. So it's, yes.
Sorry. I still can't get over how we were both at the park, and I don't know how she got them because I should have got them. You know, I just don't understand how come she got them, except that rebellion, you know, being, well, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure God had a plan. I mean, I'm sure that,
yeah.
I mean, that was part of it. It just brought her to a point where, you know, she couldn't hide anymore. But or that demon couldn't hide anymore. But I mean, she had them on her stomach and on her face, and I mean, it was I was hurting just looking at her because I know I'd experienced that before. But you know, but that's awesome. God did a just an awesome job.
Eat garlic.
Eat garlic.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'll eat garlic. I did it for her, but it won't do her any good.
Oh, you got to eat it. You got to eat it before you get them.
I forget what I was. I read something, and I don't even know what it was that I was putting on it, and I was doing all this stuff, and I probably wasn't praying. I was probably in total works. But I kept reading these things. I don't even know what all the stuff I was putting on me just to get relief from this itching. And then finally, I mean, Luke researched everything and says, "Nah, yeah. That works, Dad. You know, gasoline and, you know, all the, you know, like, something's got to work here."
Once they release that itching pores, and there ain't nothing you can do, brother. There ain't nothing. They tell you put fingernail polish and all that kind of junk.
Oh, yeah, I did that, too. I did everything.
Didn't work, did it?
I was in total works. You know? But I think that was before my leg got taken out, so I was not in the place I needed to be, so I was being chastened about something, you know. So, but it's all good. But hey, Aaron, did you want to share something, brother?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I wanted to share a short testimony here. By the way, all tonight has been just really blessed, really good testimonies, and oh, praise the Lord! I am just that testimony that you gave Michael that just really blessed me and everybody too. It just good timing. Praise the Lord. Lord's timing. Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to share a quick faith testimony that the Lord, something the Lord did, the Lord just dropped it in my mind. I hadn't thought about it for a while, but it was a couple years ago. I don't know, it's maybe about 3 or 4 years ago or so. And well, I was, I had a roommate and I was living like close to like where I'm at now. I'm more in the city, but we were kind of out in the outskirts, out, you know, a little bit more out in the wilderness, and so basically, like, there was one time where, you know, it'd be kind of hard to get into town a lot of the time, so we didn't really have any like Drano, anything like that, and the bathtub. The drain and all that was just really, really small, so it got clogged up really, really easy. Didn't take very much. Well, one time it got clogged up again, and I remember at this time I was learning a lot. The Lord was showing me a lot of stuff on the UBM site about, you know, speaking, just about having a good confession before the Lord, and about the powerful results through faith, you know, faith coming from the heart, manifesting through our words, how powerful that is. And so I was just getting really blessed with these teachings, and I'm like, you know, I was just like, I think I just got done listening to Faith for All Things in some of the old Bible studies, and I was just like, man, Faith for All Things. And so our bathtub, you know, like I said, it was clogged really bad, and I'm like, I wonder, Lord, and I'm like, Lord, I prayed for it. I was like, Lord, I'm going to ask you to unclog this drain, you know? And so I went and took a shower and, you know, nothing. And my roommate was saying, yeah, the bathtub's got clogged up again. And I'm like, well, you know what? So I'm like, you know, I prayed over that drain and the Lord just gave me the grace to just speak it in front of him at the time, just to really, I was just so excited, you know? And so, I confessed it. I felt like the Lord saying, you just confess it before him. And so I said, you know, the Lord's going to unclog that drain, and we don't need anything. We don't need to go get anything. The Lord's just going to do it. And he just kind of looked at me funny, you know? He didn't really have much faith or anything like that. So he just kind of gave me a look, and he's like, well, okay. So about maybe 2 to 3 weeks goes by, and it's still clogged. And I just remember him saying it again, too. He's like, yeah, the bathtub's still clogged. And I'm like, no, it isn't. Jesus' name. And so I went in there and I noticed that I ended up taking another shower, and I noticed that it kind of went down a little bit, like the water was starting to actually go down faster instead of, you know, just taking on a full shower bath. And you know, it was really interesting because I was like, you know what, Lord? Thank you, Lord, but I actually asked, Lord, that you'd unclog the whole thing. So I'm like, I'm going to believe, Lord, that you're going to unclog the whole thing instead of just a little bit. And sure enough, you know, I was in there, and when I was praying that, and I heard the sucking sound, go, you know, like all of a sudden the drain cleared out and all the water went down rapidly, and it was totally unclogged. And I told my roommate, and he's like, wow. Didn't really know what to say. Like, wow, that's really cool. And I was like, yeah, praise God, you know, the Lord's good. And, you know, and I was just praising the Lord for that. And it was just one of those, you know, it was just like the Lord was just, it was interesting because, like I said, I was just feeding on the teachings and hadn't really believed in the Lord for anything like that. But the Lord just, you know, just by feeding on the teachings, getting the word in my heart, the Lord just poured out his grace and his, you know, and his spirit there and did a miracle. And I thought that was really cool. So I just had that short testimony to share. Everybody's testimonies tonight have just tremendously blessed me. And I can definitely say, I know exactly what you guys are talking about, demons manifesting in children. I've seen tremendous results. Like the Lord has done a tremendous work in my own daughter. She's about 7 right now. But when she was, oh man, there was some really saw at times rebellious spirits manifesting on her. You know, she'd be like 3 or, I don't know, actually, I think it was, well, I'd see it even as early as 2, you know, 2 years old, before. And it just over time, you know, just enduring for her, praying for her and just lifting her up. It's like the Lord's just done an awesome work of deliverance and just, you know, the Lord's taught me to rest even through just being a father, you know, like the Lord just taught me to rest, just sharing the word, sharing who he is with her, you know, and it's just really awesome, like to see the Lord just by resting in the Lord, just to see him do this awesome work in her heart. I mean, there were a few times actually where she had just this terrible, terrible earache. It was like this really bad ear infection. And I remember one night, you know, she couldn't go to sleep. She was just screaming, you know. She would try to go to sleep and she would feel it again. And she'd just be like, Dad, help, you know, just screaming. And she's like, Dad, I need some medicine. And I'm like, honey, I don't have anything. I don't have any medicine. And I can't take it. You know, it was freezing outside. It was wintertime. You know, it's freezing outside. I'm like, I don't have a car right now. So I'm like, I can't really take you, you know, to the store out in this weather. You know, we're just going to have to believe the Lord, you know, for healing here. And I asked her, I'm like, do you want to just believe Jesus to heal your ear? And she just looked at me and nodded, and, you know, she was really in pain. And it just really, really pierced my heart, you know. So I remember what was really interesting was, as I would lay next to her and I would just start praying in tongues, and it just, the enemy was relentless, kept pushing and pushing and pushing, but the Lord just kept telling me to rest and rest and just pray for her in tongues. And it's the moment that I would feel the presence of the Lord just drop in the room, all of a sudden she would stop crying, and she wouldn't, you know, it's like she wouldn't really show any signs of pain. And then, you know, I would leave her. I remember, like, I was trying to clean the house up at this time because it was really messy. And so I remember I got up and I started, you know, clean up a little bit. And then I would hear her again, you know, screaming away. And I'd go back in and I would just lay down next to her and pray. And the same thing would happen. And the Lord was just saying, just lay right here with her. You know, lay right here and just pray and rest. And that was like the first time that happened. And she got up the next day and she was healed. She had no problems with her ears. It was a miracle. Like, the Lord just totally healed her. And then there was another time where it was the same thing. You know, she said, he's like, Dad, the little guy in my ear is scraping me. I'm like, well, why don't we just command that little guy to get out of Jesus' name? And the same thing, we just, you know, she just agreed with me, you know, and just agreed, like, she actually asked me, that's right, she asked me, she said, Dad, please pray, like, Dad, you just need to pray. And I'm like, well, you're right, we need to pray. And once again, you know, the Lord did an awesome work there and healed her ear, but it took a little bit of endurance at times, like, it didn't manifest right away. It took some perseverance of pressing in, but there was an awesome result. And just from those few instances, you know, there's been some others too, but just little bits, and, you know, like, the Lord on our own children's hearts are just, you know, he's doing the same thing, just a little here, a little there, a little there, a little, and, you know, those seeds have been planted. And, you know, it's like ever since those times, you know, it's like she'll bring up Jesus and just talk about him and ask me all kinds of questions. And I'll be like, well, you know, I'll pray about a lot of the questions. Oh, I'll pray about it. You know, let's pray together about it. See what Jesus says. And anyway, I wanted to share that. I'm just wonderfully blessed tonight. And I love you guys. I love all you guys. God bless all of you. And thanks for listening.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Right. Hello?
Hey, Chad.
Hey, brother, do you mind sharing about that time you endured through that trial after eating the bad chicken?
Oh yeah. Forgot about that one. Okay, yeah, praise the Lord. Well, it was in the same house that it was just me and that roommate that I had, and, well, just moved in there, really didn't have much, you know, definitely didn't have any food. I didn't have a job at the time. The guy that was living there for like a year didn't really have much at the time either. Like I said, getting into town kind of took a little bit, and his car had problems at times, and he didn't really have a lot of money in the first place to spend on gas and food. So anyway, you know, I got this, there was some people moving out of this house, and I kind of helped them. I helped them, you know, clean up and all that. And they ended up giving me I think it was a couple of bags of chicken, just filled with chicken and some other, you know, some other food. I can't remember exactly, but that's what really stands out is chicken. Anyway, I brought that into the house. Oh, that's right. I ended up bringing it to a couple of places because I was in the process of moving at the same time they moved out. And so I got this, you know, all this food, and so I moved it into some other friends that I had, into their, you know, refrigerator and freezer and all my stuff. And so that chicken just kind of, it went from one freezer and it was sitting out a little bit to the next. And the couple that gave it to me told me, you need to eat this up like within a week because it's going to go bad. And I'm like, okay. And so anyway, so I finally brought it to my place, put it in the freezer, and it got to the point where when I was living in the new place that I was in, like I said, with my roommate at that time, it was, you know, it was brand new. About a couple months in, I mean, we didn't really have much, like I said. I mean, I was eating, like, oatmeal most of the time, oatmeal and potatoes, and really, there wasn't really any meat, anything that really had some good substance to it. And so after, you know, about a month and a half of oatmeal, I was like, you know, I need to eat something solid. Like, and I kind of forgot about that chicken. Forgot about that chicken in the freezer. So anyway, I go in there and I take the bags out. And I look in there and I smell it. Oh yeah, it was turned. It was definitely turned. And I'm just like, Lord, I'm like, as bad as this smells, I'm really hungry for some solid meat. and I'm like, Lord, you know, that, like I said, at this time I'm hearing testimonies about just the Lord doing all kinds of miracles on the side. I mean, the Lord was really opening my eyes and my ears in some areas. And it was just like, you know what? I'm like, Lord, I'm going to pray for a blessing over this chicken. I'm going to put it in the frying pan, cook it up. I'm going to eat it in Jesus' name. I mean, it was clearly bad, too. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have wanted to do this unless, you know, yeah. Yeah, it had to, only the Lord could have kept you in this time. So I did, and I told my roommate, I'm like, you see this chicken? Just like, yeah, it's bad, but you know what? I'm believing for God to bless this chicken. Like, I'm hungry. And he looked at it, and he's like, well, you go ahead and be blessed. So I season it up, and I start eating it, and oh yeah, I could taste it. It was bad. It was not pleasant, but at the same time, I was just like, you know what? Don't go by sight. You know, don't go by, you know, any of that. And it seemed like the second bag that I got, oh, that's right, the first bag, like, it's almost like the Lord, it's like I got through a few pieces, and it's like the Lord had mercy, and he actually made it taste better. Surprisingly, like, it tasted better at one point. I'm like, well, praise you, Lord. Thank you. And anyway, so I go to bed, you know, and I wake up in the morning, and oh, man, my stomach was sharp pains going through my stomach. I mean, it hurt bad. And the first thing I thought, my fleshly mind was thinking, oh, you have food poisoning, because I've felt that before. I mean, oh, man, it was just, it's terrible, the symptoms. But anyway, I just said, you know what? I don't have food poisoning in Jesus' name. I don't, in the name of Jesus. And so I got up out of bed, and man, my stomach was turning. I was hurting. I did not feel good. I just wanted to lay down, and I wanted to vomit. And I just said, no, not in Jesus' name. You know, I'm not vomiting. That chicken was blessed. And I went outside to do some wood cutting. You know, because I'm like, you know, I'm just going to just keep believing in faith. I'm just going to go, you know, I don't have food poisoning, so I'm going to do everything like I normally would. And that's when I felt it the most, when I was outside doing some wood splitting or wood cutting. And that's when the devil really tried to, you know, get me into fear. And I just said no. And at that, and I think it was like, yeah, it was at that moment I just felt my body instantly healed. I felt the Spirit of the Lord instantly heal my stomach, my veins. I could feel it all through my body, you know. I could feel the poison and all that trying to go through my body, and the Lord instantly healed. I cast out a spirit of infirmity, and my body just was healed. And then, so I actually ate, knowing that the chicken was totally rotten and poisoned, I ate another bag of it, like, because I was still hungry. We didn't have anything, you know. And I'm like, well, I'm going to eat, you know, I'm going to eat this second bag knowing that, you know, that it's totally not good. Like, but I'm still doing it because I'm going to believe it's good, you know. And so I prayed over it and the same thing. And, man, another trial of food, you know, felt that food poisoning, the sharp pains. And with the same result, the Lord just told me to stand in faith and believe. And he did it. He instantly healed me again. And so anyway, I just wanted, yeah, thanks for reminding me of that, Chad. I kind of forgot about that.
Oh, man. I'm over here crying and laughing so hard.
Was that organic chicken?
You're underwater, Tim.
Oh, I was just laughing so hard I was crying. I was just picturing, like, Missy's face and Trish's face and Amber's face while he was giving that testimony, you know? He did what?
Oh, you know, I was thinking about that too, actually. I shared that testimony with some other people, and like there's a married couple, and like the woman, the lady was like, you know, I don't think I would have done that. She just kind of gave me that look, and but amen, praise the Lord. You know, he can, you know, the Lord, and it's interesting because the Lord did take away, you know, the more I ate into that stuff, it's like the Lord did take away the taste. You know, it didn't taste bad halfway through it, you know, like the Lord made it more pleasant. But man, I tell you, that was the oldest chicken I've ever ate.
did you fry it, or did you barbecue it, or what did you do?
I fried it on a cast iron. I just threw it on there. And
amen. Fried chicken.
Oh yeah.
Oh, talking about walking in faith, man. That's an awesome testimony. Wow.
It definitely took a lot of grace. There's no way I would have done that without but the Lord's grace there. It was, yeah, you know, and just casting, really, what it just casting down that fear. You know, I didn't feel burdened by thoughts of like, oh, am I being legalistic? Or, you know, it's like the Lord just gave me understanding and grace, like, no, this is the situation, and just believe me. And he's done that in a few situations too, where he just was showing me, no, you're not being legalistic, you're walking in faith, you know, and just keep pressing in. And that was just one of those times. So amen. That's all I got.
Now, I remember I was talking to a brother once, and he ended up, I think he had it was like a buffalo chicken pizza or something like that. And I think it had like, you know, the blue cheese dressing on it or something. He left it out overnight on the counter. And the next day he ate it. And not thinking, you know, as far as leaving it out all night, and he ended up getting food poisoning. And he was sharing with me, he was laying on the floor, I mean, just in the fetal position, in so much pain, and just crying out and hallucinating, and just, you know, he was just in this trial, and it went on for, I forget what it was. It was a couple days or a day and a half or something like that. He couldn't get off the floor. But he's telling me this story, and I'm just like, you know, hurting with him. But then he just starts going into, it was the most awesome time in the Lord that he ever had in his whole life, you know, and he just was just telling me what, you know, just, it was like he was on the verge of death, and he just had the best time in the Lord, you know, while he's just, you know, moaning and rolling on the floor. But it was like he took this thing and he just had the most amazing testimony out of it. And it was like, wow, you know. So, but I thought that's what you were going to kind of share. But, man, that is definitely faith, you know. eating rotten chicken and smelling it while it's cooking and
tasted it.
Oh yeah, it's rotten, but I'm believing.
Yeah. I'm hungry.
Yeah. Oh, my roommate was giving me the strangest looks. So I don't think he enjoyed the smell of that.
Well, there ain't nothing like fried bad chicken.
Oh yeah.
Amen.
Hey, Aaron, I would have been under tremendous conviction to start fasting.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, I thought about it, but I felt like the Lord was saying, nope. I've got this chicken here for a good reason.
I love it. Oh, man. See, we are a bunch of nuts, you know? just nuts for Jesus. I love it. So,
amen.
Oh, boy. All right. Anybody else have anything on their heart or need prayer or anything before we close out tonight?
Yeah, and Tim, I was just going to share what you was talking about before with Victoria. Kind of the same thing happened to me when we were up at David's that night. She was behind the table there, and I come up to get some chips. She's playing on the floor, and she jumped up and made some kind of noise. I wouldn't know how to describe it, and had a real just demonic look on her face, and she jumped back under the table, and I said something like, "You don't have to be afraid of me," or something like that, and she jumped out again and done the same thing and turned the other way and ran off. And I know those spirits, they can't stand God's spirit. We have that happen at the detention center sometimes. We had one guy one time, he was sitting there and he was just like he was on pins and needles. I mean, he was looking around and just nervous. And pretty soon he says, "Man, I can't do this. I got to get out of here." And when they come, they won't let him go back to their cell. They have to stay there. But he couldn't stay there, so they had to get a guard to sit out in the hall with him until it was over. He could not stay in there. And we've experienced that different times. It's that spirit. They cannot stand God's spirit.
Yeah, when those demons are around a bunch of people filled with the Holy Spirit, that demon gets so nervous, it just, you know, it does anything to try to get out of the room or try to leave or whatever it is. And, you know, but that's it, you know, in a lot of cases, especially when you're counseling somebody and, you know, as far as for deliverance or whatever it is, I mean, they just start squirming in their seats and stuff like that. You know, it's just like that demon is just like knows its days are numbered, you know? So, but that's awesome. I just, victory in Jesus. Amen. So, all right, let's just, Father, we just thank you for just another awesome night of testimonies of, you know, the marvelous things that you've done for us and about walking in faith and your promise of deliverance and just what you did in Michael Levesque's, just working in him and blessing him and the testimonies bringing forth. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. And, Father, we just, that was Albert. I got him. So Father, we just thank you for just bless our week this week, Lord. Just allow us to walk pleasing to you. Allow us to just walk in the Spirit, just to see in the Spirit and be led of you in all things and to sanctify this flesh and guide and direct us in these days, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just this night tonight. It's been a blessing for me, and I believe it's blessed a lot of people. And we just thank you for just bringing us together and this fellowship. And just bless everybody this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody.
Hey, Ken, yes. Can I share a real quick testimony?
Sure.
Hold on a sec. Okay, I had to kiss my husband night quick. Today I was out and I was on my way to Walmart and I was at a stop sign and was going to make a right turn and I was waiting and watching the cars go and so when they went past I made my turn and next thing you know there's this other vehicle like right there and I'm like, where in the world did that vehicle come from? And I realized after the fact that the person, and I don't even know if I recognized that there was somebody sitting in waiting to pull out of this parking lot across the street from me, you know. But anyway, I had the right of way, so they must have turned left. That's the only place that vehicle could have come from. And I thought for sure that car was going to hit me. It got so close, I'm wondering if I had a Michael and David experience because I'm telling you, that was the very first thing that came to my mind as soon as I had any composure to think. I put on the brakes, and I'm telling you, I don't know how this person kept from hitting me. And I was just like, whoa. And I was like, thank you, Lord, you know. They didn't hit me, and I was just like, and I wasn't, you know, like, you know, angry or anything like that, you know, beeping at them or anything like that. I was just like so thankful that they didn't hit me, you know. But I just give the Lord credit. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, if you did something tremendously miraculous here, you know, let me know, you know, show me what happened, you know, kind of like the Lord did with Sandy and her car thing.
Right, right.
But anyway, I don't even know. I thought for sure I was waiting to hear like a bang or a scrape, you know, because the person, I think they saw me then, or real, I don't know what the world happened, but I turned my wheel away from them, and I think they started turning away too or something. I don't know, but I don't see how, because I thought she had me. I thought for sure she had me. And anyway, so praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I don't think anybody would have got hurt or anything, because neither of us were going fast. It's just we would have had damaged vehicles. But thank you, Jesus.
The Lord had his angels dispatched.
Yep, for sure.
Protected your car. So thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
All right, thanks for sharing that. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, good night, everybody. And
good night, everybody. We love you.
Love you guys. We'll see you next Tuesday.